Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Terry Puttis, Acting Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Forces Transformation and Resources. Also joining us in our conversation is Chuck Pro, IBM's defense industry leader. Terry, we talked a little bit about behaviors and habits, and so I'm curious, how do you make something like transformation a habit? And given your efforts over the years, could you elaborate on DOD's culture of innovation?
You're right. I mean, people are, creatures of habit. It's difficult to catalyze change. And you have to remember that the product of the Department of Defense is national security. Okay, and so you have to be careful. I mean, you have to do the appropriate due diligence and all those sorts of things because it is a really a big deal. So, but I think the department's leadership has done they've done a lot over the last 5.5 years. You know, when I look through my lens, in empowering people, to propose alternative solutions and different. My experience is that everybody, probably at every desk has some ideas on how to improve things. And so having the ability to listen and empower those people to go ahead and make some change and be able to do informed risk taking, I think is very powerful. And so when you look on the industry side, I don't like to use too many industry examples because I get criticized for that. But the other large organizations that are successful, they have that sort of culture. That's what they try to instill. So I think that great strides have been made. It's something that you always have to pay attention to because it's very easy to retrench, and of course that's not what you want to do.
Terry, now the integration of the DOD Policy Directorate was just one of the many changes to take place within the DOD Policy Directorate. Could you tell us about some of the other changes and how these changes illustrate the core transformation principle of creating a more adaptable organization?
Well, I can try. I mean, I'm fairly recent to the organization, and this effort was started, sometime before we actually arrived. But I know that the leadership of the organization felt that there hadn't been a major transformation within that organization for quite some time. It was sort of some evolutionary steps that were done. And so I believe that they felt that it was time to sort of realign the organization to reflect the global environment of today, post-Cold War, and be able to be much more effective in the future, as well as looking at things that could be done to make the organization more effective from a business perspective and management perspective. And then also there's a human capital strategy component of this. And so the idea was then to create a different organization that would be much more effective and perhaps more efficient for the future, as well as to create an organization which we call somewhat, adaptable, the ability to then change as things unfolded or as new requirements came up, and to create an organization where the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
An emerging area of DOD's vision for defense transformation are actions to reduce DOD's energy requirements and to develop alternate energy sources. What is your role in this effort?
Well, this is something we took an interest in probably a couple, 3 years ago, perhaps even longer than that, because it was our sense that, at some point that we were going to have to start thinking seriously about this whole issue. And so we did a couple of modest efforts, a couple of studies. We actually co-sponsored with Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics a seminar series that meets once a month. It's open to anybody that wants to attend to look at the energy issues broadly. And it's a very complex thing. Clearly, there are technology issues, there are policy issues, there are cultural issues, there's a whole number of things involved. But, you can see that if you look just on the operational side of the house, how it's becoming a significant deal. It's part of the logistics burden I talked about earlier. And so what we'd like to be able to do is operate in this very dispersed sort of network environment that we've created, but we don't want to spend all our time, protecting convoys of petroleum, for example. So it's both a cost issue and an effectiveness issue. So And then, of course, you know, lots of people are talking about peak oil and when is peak oil really going to come and how is that going to affect the world economy. And there's a competition for energy resources. So there's many dimensions of this as well as environmental and, you know, all of those things. So we are still working on this. You know, I have a couple of studies going on right now that are trying to look at this through different lenses, trying to create some, you know, some data for the decision makers on how to think about this big issue.
Transformation creates new competitive areas and competencies. What qualities will be needed in the warfighter of the future?
We talked about the complexity of the potential future, you know, future competitive space. Right now, we see our folks being put in very, very complex environments, you know, that are very, very difficult. And so I think there's a couple pieces of this. One is there's a cultural dimension on, you know, all this stuff with language training and different things and how do you think about these complex environments. And then there's also, of course, there's a capabilities piece of this, something which I call sort of a how do you move from binary solutions to something that has a scale of effects. So we give our folks very, very good binary solutions, put them in very complex environments. And then perhaps they have to accept either enormous risk or they do something and there's unintended consequences. And so I think that things in that particular category that have a capability from sort of a non-lethal to a lethal capability would be somewhat useful. Now, having said that, that is not a simple issue. There's incredible policy issues and cultural issues that go along with that when you start going down that trail. But I think that's an area that we have to start thinking about.
Sounds like there are significant human capital issues associated with this subject. What is the department doing to attract and retain the highest quality workforce?
I think they're doing a lot. I mean, I'm not that familiar with the national security personnel system that was just put in place recently. But clearly that was an attempt to be able to manage the human capital better. And because everybody recognizes that that's really where what we got to pay attention to. And so how can you unburden, you know, some of the previous bureaucratic things? And, you know, large organizations have those. And so it's, you know, people don't necessarily want to be subject to those in that kind of environment. So to make the environment much better. And I think that they're working very hard to attract people into government.
Terry, we're coming to the end of our time here, but I do have one more question I'd like to ask you. You've had a very successful career in the Navy and now supporting the DoD transformation efforts. I'm curious, what advice could you give to a person who perhaps is considering a career in public service today?
I would tell them to do it, okay, because I think there's no higher calling than to serve your country, whether in uniform or in the civil side. And it can be it's very, very rewarding. It's difficult in some cases, but I believe it's a very worthwhile effort. And no matter what kind of day I've had at the officer in the day, I always go home and feel good about that I was contributing to something that was very worthwhile. So I'd like people to consider very seriously.
That's fantastic. Thank you. We have reached the end of our time, and I do want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Chuck and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country, both as a naval officer and now leading the DoD's transformation agenda.
At the end of every time I talk to someone or give a presentation, I always like to put a little plug in for our website. You can find us at www.oft.osd.mil, and we're always looking for your comments on our website. We try to keep it updated, and we do answer the mail that people send to us. So thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Terry. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Terry Poudas, Acting Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Forces Transformation and Resources. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.